This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and good morning. It's now 9:35 a.m. Welcome to the show that's all about personal finance. This is Ringgit and Cents. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng. And today on the show, we have Eric Chin, the CEO of the private credit scoring agency CITOS Data Systems. Welcome, Eric. Welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks, Melissa.
All right. So today's topic, we're going to be talking about why you should get a credit score. Now, if you have questions about your own credit worthiness or the things that you think may impact your credit score, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can text us at 016-201-9000. Just going to repeat that again. That's 016-201-9000. And you can join the conversation today.
And in fact, we already have a question, and let's start with that question because it's a good one from Cheryl Fazli. He said that he has just recently got into some debt, but he always settles his debt more than the minimum amount. I guess he's talking about the credit card.
The credit cards, yeah.
But then he says that his rating is considered weak because of his short credit history. So the question is CITOS for newbies who don't have a lot of credit history?
Right. Thanks, Julian, for the question. Right. I think that's a very interesting question, and it also shows that, you know, there is actually a lot of awareness and education that's required, you know, for the general Malaysian public, right, to understand better what is actually a credit score. Right. So I think to put it very simply, a credit score is basically a globally accepted measurement tool. Right. So if you go to the States, if you go to UK, right, Europe, any part of Europe, right, people want to know about their credit score because it's a measurement tool that allows them to understand their own credit worthiness, right? And more importantly, ascertain, right, what is the level of attractiveness to lenders, right, to banks, right? So the next question is then, why do I want to know about my credit score, right? And it's all about, right, I think the most important thing, right, it increases your chances, right, first of all, getting your loans approved, right, be it a credit card or a mortgage, right, or an auto loan, right? And also, it helps you in terms of making sure that, you know, your applications is approved in a speedier manner, right?
And okay, I think, so if somebody wants to get the real picture, an honest picture of themselves, does a short credit history influence that?
Right, so I'm just getting there, Julian, right?
Sorry.
Yeah, so anyway, let's talk a bit about credit score and more important, on the CITOS score itself, right? I think typically, you know, for a credit score, you have five key factors, right, that you look at, right? And in order of priority, I'll put it, or in terms of weightage, right? I think the first important factor is basically your payment history, right? So obviously, it's looking at things like how often do you pay on time, right? How timely is your payment, right? Whether your accounts are regularized, right? So payment history. The second area is amount owed, right? Now, amount owed over here would mean, right, would mean what is your outstanding versus your available credit. So the higher your utilization of your credit, then definitely it will pull your score down, right? Now, then the third point is what the question is all about, right? The length of credit history. Now, the length of credit history actually plays a part, right, in terms of how you score, right? And it's quite simple, right? I mean, you think about it, right? For someone who drives, right, there is actually statistics that show that if you drive, you know, for many years, right, and you have the experience, right, then the likelihood of you getting into an accident is much lower, right?
Right.
So the concept is pretty much the same, right? So that's why when you are a new driver, right, you have this P license, right? Or professional license.
And sometimes if you try to rent a car and if you're a young driver, right, your premium is a lot higher, right?
Yeah, yeah. The loading.
The loading,
the loading,
is
young,
right?
So,
loading.
So the concept,
that's
is,
right,
the concept is very much, thanks Melissa for that, right? And I think my advice to the gentleman there, right, is that, you know, he should continue paying his credits on time and build a longer track record, right? And hence, that will also ensure that his credit score increases and increases his attractiveness to lenders.
Okay. Well, I have a question about timeliness of payment. So is there a difference between missing a couple of days of payment, or are we talking about skipping a few months of installments?
Well, in general, right, I mean, there is a, when you talk about credit cards, you talk about housing loan, right? When you get your statements, there is actually a due date, right? Now, our advice, right, is obviously to pay on time on the due date itself, right? So if you miss the due date, right, essentially you are actually late. Right. So and that's how it's viewed by the lenders. Yeah. Right. So I think it's very important, right, to have that financial discipline. What we recommend, right, is to sign up for auto payment, right? Auto debit payment, for example, to ensure that your payment is always on time.
Mm. Well, how quickly can you erase a bad practice? Like say you were late for about 3 months, then the next month you pay off everything. Does that help?
Well, What you will show is that you have actually regularized your account, right? But you will also show that you have actually paid late for 1 month, right? So I think, as I mentioned, right, the longer your credit history, the longer you pay, right? What's important is that the more current payment history will have a stronger weightage versus something that is maybe month 10, right? So I think that's one thing that, you know, we encourage as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Eric, there's a question from Suraya Zainuddin who tweeted in, and she's asking, who usually asks for credit scores and whose request can she legally decline?
Right. Now, credit score is used by the majority of lenders out there in the market, right, today. So if you were to look at subscribers of CTOS, right, our subscribers consist of most of the financial institutions and banks in Malaysia. Right, we also have telcos, right? Telcos as our subscribers. We also have some government related agencies, right? And it's pretty widely used, right? If you talk about disclosure of credit reports, right? Now, CTOS, just like any other credit reporting agency, we are governed under the CRA Act, which is under the purview of Ministry of Finance, right? And there is very, very strict regulations in terms of when a credit score and a credit report can be disclosed to the subscribers, right? Hence, there is a need, for example, before the report is disclosed, that consent is obtained, right? So without consent, basically the request for the report actually is declined.
Consent from the
borrower.
From the borrower, yes. Okay.
But don't the banks pay you for a service? And also the follow-up question to that is that aren't all these data, public data, the data about my payment or your payment, is that public information that can be distributed to the financial institutions?
No, the short answer is no. All this information are considered as private data, right? And is under the purview of PDP Act as well, right? So hence, is regulated strictly, right, by the disclosure principles that we have under the Act. So such information cannot be disclosed, cannot be provided without express consent by the subject themselves.
So if you deny the bank report of yourself, does this signal to the bank that perhaps...
you have something to hide.
Well, I believe that all banks have their own policies on such matters, right? But yes, you know, the tendency would be if you decline, you know, providing consent, right, then it makes sense for the banks to make a decision, right, based on that denial, right? And it's all about information transparency, right? I look at it this way, right? I always use this analogy, right? If you're going to a shopping mall, right, and someone tap your back, right, and ask you for, can you lend me 100 ringgit, what is your immediate reaction?
No.
can you pay back or not?
Right. First of all, you don't even ask whether you can pay back, right?
Why you want
who are you?
Who are you, right?
Who are you, actually? That's the first question we should ask.
So when you approach a bank to apply for a credit card, the bank don't know you, right? They need to verify your identity.
Right.
Right.
I have a question here from a text message. So someone texted in with no name, but the question is, for expats, the ID is a passport and the number changes when you get your passport changed over time. Right. So does CTOS keep a record of the individual creditworthiness?
We, for expats, right, obviously we capture information like passport, right? But again, as I mentioned, if the person have some form of credit history, right, in Malaysia itself, then definitely we will have the information and we will have updated passport information. But if this person is not visible, right, in the lending or credit space, then we wouldn't have the information.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I hope that answers your question, Jules.
So I think the main reason why someone would want to check their own credit scoring or credit rating would be that they want to see how they rank and how they're seen by financial institutions and see the chances of them getting successful loan applications. Now, what is the cost of going for your service?
Well, Julian, good question, right?
To the individual.
So at the moment, right, at the moment, CTOS is running a campaign. We call it the What's Your CTOS Score campaign. And we are actually giving 100,000 CTOS score reports for free.
Right? Okay.
For free. Yeah. And I think as of today, since we started the campaign on 1st November, 50,000 CTOS score has already been redeemed by the general public.
Okay, right. So 50,000 more to go.
Yes. Still got time.
Yeah, 50,000 more to go, right? Yeah.
All right, it's now 9:46. We'll be right back with more on Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. 9:48, right now you're listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. Melissa and Julian here, and with us, Eric Chin from the credit reporting agency CTOS. So Eric, just before the break, we were talking about how much it costs for a CTOS credit score. How much does it cost if it's not one of the freebie ones?
So I believe, Melissa, you're not going to let me go on this, right? Well, our report costs, the CTOS score report costs retail at 225 ringgit, right? And I think the next question that, you know, most likely you ask is, why is it so expensive?
225 right? ringgit, right?
No, 25 ringgit.
25 ringgit.
Yeah, 25 okay. ringgit, right? And I think, I look at it this way, right? I think when we talk about the CTOS score, it's actually a tool, right? And a service that allows you to understand better your credit health, right? So if you talk about going for a health check, right? How much does it cost?
How frequently should you get a new CTOS update check?
What we recommend is that, you know, you should periodically check your credit score, right?
Every year?
So
every time you go for a health check, you go for a credit check, is it?
So, every dental check.
So there are people who actually check every month, right? For example, they are monitoring, you know, whether their credit health has improved when they put in certain measures to pay on time and so on and so forth, right? But typically, we will recommend every 3 months, right? Every 3 months to ensure that, you know, your information, right, is still valid, right? And at the same time, you know, it's also a tool that could help in terms of identifying whether that you are a victim of fraud, so on and so forth.
Oh, right. Yeah. Apart from the fraudulent claims, is there any reason to check so often? Because you can sort of intuitively feel where you stand. You know whether you have paid your debts off or not.
Right. The reason why certain people, right, they check every month, for example, is that, well, they know that, you know, for their first time when they get their own credit score, they see that, hey, my credit score is not too healthy, right? And then what they do is that they speak to our customer service advisors, right? They try to understand how can they actually improve, right? And they put in place, right, certain discipline, right? For example, ensure that this credit card that I've been skipping, right, I need to make sure I pay on time. And they want to see how is it improving, right? So that they reach to a certain goal and they are now comfortable to submit an application for a loan, for example.
Eric, a text from a listener asking, what's the difference between CTOS and CCRIS, which stands for Central Credit Reference Information System? So CCRIS is also another kind of credit reference.
CCRIS is a system, right, that is managed regulated by Bank Negara Malaysia, our central bank, right? And it's a system, right, that requires all the banking and financial institutions, right, to provide, right, latest credit information about their borrowers, right? So hence, CCRIS is basically a public database, right? Where else, if we look at CTOS, right, CTOS is a privately owned company, right? We are regulated under the Credit Reporting Agencies Act, as I mentioned earlier on, under the purview of Ministry of Finance, right? Our database goes beyond the banking system, right? Our subscribers, right, who contributes data to us as well, includes the non-banks, credit grantors, right? It includes telcos, for example, it includes large corporates, multinationals, so on and so forth. So essentially, CTOS database holds comprehensive information of both bank and non-bank information as well. Mm-hmm. So CTOS, for example, have access to the Bank Negara secrets, right? And leveraging on the comprehensive information from CTOS as well as secrets, we have actually developed the CTOS score.
Yeah, so I want to go back to the guy who checks his scoring every month or every 3 months. And I'm just wondering whether you can data mine all the data that you have and give us a picture of the kind of state that we are in right now. Are we really a nation of high debt, as they all say, you know, 90% debt to GDP, household debt to GDP ratio right now? What does your data show?
It's a very interesting question, Julian, and I think, you know, there is actually a lot of insights, right, from a macro level, right, not going into the individual detail, of where we are in terms of the level of indebtedness, right? We are now in the process of launching this CTOS score, right, and hence we believe that the information at the moment may not be too reflective, right, of the situation. But if I may comment on the level of indebtedness that certain people have actually raised, you know, the alarm bells, right?
Right.
I think if we were to note, you know, some of the reports coming from Bank Negara Malaysia as well as other regulatory bodies, right? Yes, in 2015, I think you all know the stats as well. We are at 89.1%, right, in terms of level of our household debts, right? But I think we need to actually look into a bit more detail, right? Where are actually the debts coming from, right? And the debts are essentially very much in what I call debts in terms of productive assets, right?
So it's good
very
debt much
la. Yeah, good debts, like, right? So yeah. You're talking about mortgage,
okay.
Right? You're talking about debts to invest, for example, right? And that's, I think, close to about 60%, right? And the other thing as well is that while it's not, it's still manageable, right? I think there is a need to emphasize on education. I think that's something that is seriously lacking at the moment, right?
Financial education. Yeah.
Financial education, specific? Understanding your own credit health, right? Bank Negara is always telling the banks, right, you need to be prudent in your lending. You need to be a responsible lender, right? I think where CTOS is coming from with the launch of the CTOS Score campaign is essentially telling the public at large, right? That is also very important for you to be a responsible borrower, right? Borrow within your means, right? And how do you know what is within your means?
Yeah, how right? do you know if your credit you're healthy yeah. right, in that sense, in that respect?
And that's where the credit score and the credit report, right, will actually give you a very good assessment, right? A 360 degree view of where you are.
Have you seen a surge in inquiries in recent months or recent times?
We started with a base of about 250,000 individuals, subscribers, right, who have come to CTOS to obtain their own credit reports, right? Since we launched the CTOS Score campaign, right, in less than about 15 days, we have seen that, you know, there's a new take-up of about 50,000 new subscribers, right?
So I think in the last 15 days.
Yeah, so I think it's a very good reflection, right, that there are actually a lot of interest once they understand that, you know, this is actually a good tool for me to understand better in terms of my own credit health.
Right. A couple of text messages have just come in and just some questions from listeners. Does CTOS know how much we earn and cash balance we have? So do you have that information ready?
No, we do not. We do not capture information about income.
Okay.
Right.
Just debt.
Yeah.
Right. And also, can I find out which banks use their credit score for lending? So are there specific banks that use the CTOS score for approving
we have
loans?
We have numerous banks who are in the midst of actually reviewing the score because that's a very long process, right? We have already one bank who has adopted it, right? They are part of our partnership program, right, under the CTOS score campaign.
So if you say that you can actually deny the banks the information, what would the banks use you for then if all the information is denied?
Well, I believe if we were to look at the banks, right, I think when the banks make a credit decision, they do not only rely on information coming from CTOS, right? They also have different sources of information. They will also obtain information from the borrowers directly, and then they would normally cross-check those information with the sources that they obtain. And at the same time, the banks also have their own internal scorecard systems.
Right. I see. Okay, well, if we have time for one more question, this is a little specific, but maybe you can help address this, Eric. I recently discovered that there are some delayed payments from my CTOS report. So he's discovered some delayed payments after his credit score was released. Now, I believe this could be the used car dealer delaying payments after I sold my car. What can I do to reverse this and get my score up? Essentially, how to become credit more credit worthy.
In that manner, right? I think one of the information that is captured as well, right, is basically information coming from non-bank credit grantors, right? And I believe what the person can do, number one, is actually to approach our customer service center, right? We have 7 customer service centers nationwide today, right? And understand better what are the reasons, right, for that information to be still in the report, right? And we will help facilitate the process.
Okay, fantastic. A big thank you to our guest today, Eric Chin, CEO of CTOS Data Systems. Eric, thank you for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks.
And for all the people who texted and tweeted your questions, if we didn't get to them, we will try our very best to have Eric answer them, and we will reply your text or your tweet. We've got news coming up in just a few minutes, but thank you very much for listening to Ringgit and Sense with me, Melissa Idris, and also Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.